Anyway, this morning, because we're doing baptism, we're going to talk about water baptism in the main service. So I believe that every one of you is going to get something out of this because it's the Word of God. Praise God. Amen. Why don't we stand one more time, one more minute, and let's act in faith. Let's believe God together that we're going to get something that we need today. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for all our friends, our partners on Spirit Alive and Faith City Church. And we pray for them. We cover them with the blood of Jesus. We confess faith and love over everyone. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that we pray that the eyes of each heart will be enlightened, that they will know the hope of their calling and the riches of the glory of the inheritance that Jesus gave us. We thank you, Lord God. And what is the riches of the glory that is contained in them? And we ask, Father, in the name of Jesus, that each one will know that they've been raised up together with Jesus and that they're made to sit together over all the powers of the evil in the name of Jesus. Sit at the right hand on high with Jesus at the right hand of the Father. We thank you that you fill each one with might by your power in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in their hearts by faith, that they may be rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, length, depth, and height, that they would know the love of Christ through practical experience. We thank you that you're able to do far exceedingly beyond what we're able to ask or imagine or pray about. So we thank you with that, and now stretch forth your hand that signs and wonders may be done in the name of Jesus, and that you would let my preaching be not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. We ask you this in the mighty, awesome name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. And amen. Praise God. All right, let's go to our scriptures. We're going to talk about the necessity of water baptism this morning. And I'm very mindful of the time. It's 11:15, so wherever you are. I was told that I was 2 hours, we had 2 hours difference with somebody this morning. And so, this is a foundational doctrine of Christ. A foundational doctrine of Christ. And so, let's go to a text of scripture, Hebrews chapter 6, 1 and 2, a couple of texts here, and Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. I was just thinking about that scripture the kids mentioned. I think it's John 13, 13:10. And the gospel must be published or preached all over the world before Jesus comes, the Bible says. It must be preached all over the world. This gospel must be preached everywhere. And I want to remind you that you don't have to argue about the gospel, whether it's true or not. You just have to tell people about Jesus, and you don't have to argue about all the scientific behind it and all the things. You know, you just have to mention the gospel, tell them about Jesus and how he loves them, and that's all you have to do. You don't have to argue with people. Jesus didn't say, go all into all the world and argue with everybody. He didn't say that. He said, just go ahead and tell them about Jesus. And if we do it right, I believe there are people there that will accept the message of Jesus, the love of Jesus. And last night, my wife and I were watching 700 Club on our smart television. We have the app there on our TV, on the YouTube app. And we went up to the areas of testimonies. You know, there's little five-minute slips all the way through. And we listened to that. And man, woo, we're just ready to fly and ready to start our day. Last night at midnight. And so if you ever want to get encouraged, go to the YouTube and go to 700 Club and look for testimonies. And you'll get really, really blessed. I promise you, you'll just be really, really blessed. They do that really well. So we have to, we're trying to get some stuff like this on our program. And we need more editors. We have two editors. We need about four or five of them, maybe half a dozen of editors that can continually tape and get good testimonies about what Jesus is doing in their lives and put it on our program so that people will hear the gospel. Glory to God. Amen. All right, that's a little bit extra. And let's go to our scripture and read. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, I want you to be reminded of the word, the principles of the doctrines of Christ. Let us go on to perfection or maturity. The word perfection is maturity. Not laying again the foundation, I want you to remember the word foundation, of repentance from dead works, that's one, and of faith towards God, that's two, of the doctrines of baptisms. That's three. And the laying on of hands. That's four. And the resurrection of the dead. That's five. And eternal judgment. That's six. I believe that's six. Does it say six? Or is it more than that? Okay, anyway. I want you to notice at least one thing there. It says the doctrine of baptisms. There is a doctrine, a teaching, a foundation to teach people. We have to have this foundation, and this morning we're teaching this. So baptism is the foundation of your faith. And those of you that are taking baptism, I'm going to show you some things that you perhaps needed to know and others need to be reminded of again about baptism. And it's not you don't have to be saved to get baptized. I mean you don't have to be, to be really born again to be baptized. No, you get baptized, you know. I'm talking about baptism in water. But you need to be baptized into the kingdom of God to go to heaven. That's a different story. We'll tell you that in a moment. So, Jesus said, Matthew 28 again, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." So, Jesus is talking. He said, this is what we do. We baptize them in the name of Jesus. All nations, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And so that's the way we're going to baptize this morning. So our main idea this morning, I want to get across to you, is that baptism is a significant ordinance, a very significant ordinance for every believer who identifies with Jesus in his death, burial, and resurrection. And many believers today do not understand the significance of water baptism. They've never been taught what baptism really is, and what water baptism is a foundation for every one of us to know about. It is also a command for the church to follow after salvation, and by the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He's the head of the church. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 1 that Jesus is the head of the church, not the Pope. Jesus is the head of the church, not any other denomination, but Jesus is. And he told us to be baptized in water. And so let's look at some scriptures about water baptism. First of all, the meaning of water baptism. The Greek word in the New Testament for water for baptism is baptizo, spelled B-A-P-T-I-Z-O. Phonetically, it means, it's pronounced baptizo. It means to dip. It says repeatedly. I got this from the, repeatedly. I don't know. You have to do it how many times, but to dip in, to immerse, and to submerge, or to be submerged underwater. So, in discussing water baptism, we are not speaking about any kind of denominational standpoint, such as how the Catholics do it, or the Presbyterians, or Baptists, or Episcopalians, or any other church that we can mention here this morning. We are approaching it from the standpoint of what the Bible says about water baptism and what it really means to us today as a church. So notice our text says baptism. Baptism is one fundamental principle and a foundation of which something is built. So according to our scripture in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, it's primarily a principle of Christ's church. It's the basic and the beginning of faith that we share together in Christ. We need to be reminded about three main baptisms or essential baptisms that we as believers need to understand. Three essential baptisms. If you're writing that in your notes, three essential baptisms. So there are three essential baptisms that every believer should be aware of as a New Testament believer. Remember our text says in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, specifically it says baptisms, not baptism, one baptism, but baptisms, more than one. Meaning there is more than one kind of baptism. We will look at these three kinds of baptism and that we need to know about. One we'll really emphasize this morning. The first kind of baptism is being put into the body of Christ when you first believed Jesus and accepted him as your personal Lord and your Savior. This is the first and most important baptism. When the Holy Spirit takes your spirit and makes you a new person and puts you into the spiritual body of Christ, believers who are all over the world, this is a supernatural experience. It is referred to more specifically to being born again. Sometimes it's called being saved. Sometimes it's called becoming a new creation in Christ. These are the same, they all mean the same thing, but they have kind of a shade different because you're talking about something, you know, from a different angle. But they all mean the same thing. When I was, in a denomination, I grew up in a denomination for 24 years until I got saved watching television, watching Billy Graham, and I accepted Jesus, and someone asked me, are you saved? Well, I didn't really like that term, saved, because I thought I was saved already. You know, you don't want anybody asking you got saved. I thought this was kind of like the native gospel preachers. That's what they talk about, being saved. So I didn't know anything about it. I was ignorant. Ignorant. I didn't know anything about it. Are you guys okay? Okay, so please smile sometime. Okay. Anyway. Let's go here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, King James Bible. For by one Spirit, that's the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, we are all baptized into one body. In other words, the Holy Spirit comes into your spirit when you're born again. It takes you and makes you one with all the believers all over the world. So, this is the first and most important baptism. When the Holy Spirit takes your old spirit and makes you a new person and puts you into the supernatural or spiritual body of Christ. This is a spiritual experience. It's not a mental experience. It's not a physical experience, although it'll affect some of that. You'll notice that if you get born again, I did. When I got born again, I began to cry. So that's kind of a physical experience. I had tears. I felt emotional. That's psychologically. So it impacted me when I got born again, because all my life I thought I was saved. But I was in darkness. Jesus didn't live in me yet. I knew about Jesus. I knew about Bible stories. I knew about God. I didn't know him personally. He wasn't living inside of me. He was living outside of me. The Bible says when the Holy Spirit, when you get born again, he comes inside you. You become one with Christ. So that happened to me. So it's a spiritual experience, but it affects you in different ways. I got so happy emotionally for a number of days until I met some really, really sad Pentecostals that told me that one day I'll fall back into my own place. But thank God I'm still excited about Jesus. A little bit more mature about it, but you know, when I got born again, I want to tell everybody about it. I thought everybody's going to be happy, but not everybody was happy. You ever found that you got born again? How many of you found out you got born again and the fact you were even scared to tell people? You're scared of the reaction. I think my mom, especially, you know, she was a staunch Catholic, and when I told her I got born again, some of my cousins back home told me, "You're changing your religion." Well, thank God I did change my religion in many, many ways, but I wanted to know Jesus more. I got to be more into Jesus than I did before. I was on side looking in, thinking that I was saved, but I wasn't saved. So anyway, so this is a supernatural experience. So it says there, 1 Corinthians again, 12:13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether it be Jews or Gentiles, whether it be bond or free. We've all been made to drink into one Spirit. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. In other words, you put on Christ. What does that mean? Well, you were baptized into the body. Jesus, the Holy Spirit took your spirit and put you into the spiritual body of Christ. Then you took on a new identity with Christ. And then you begin to learn about how you should act and how you should behave and learn about the things of the ways of the scriptures. And so Romans 6:3 says this, know ye not, because there's a lot of people don't know ye, they don't know this, know ye not that as many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means, you know, we died with Jesus. When you get baptized into the body of Christ, when you got born again, the Holy Spirit took you, and you were baptized not only, you know, in so many ways, you were baptized into his death. In other words, when Jesus died on the cross, when he was on the cross, and he became sin for us, the Bible says that God took the sins of the world and put it on Jesus, and he died on that cross. When he died, you and I died. That's what the baptism talks about, that we died with Jesus. And when he went down for 3 days, you and I went down 3 days. When he rose up, we rose up with him. When he went up and he sat at the right hand of the Father, we're sitting there with him, positionally, spiritually. You might not feel like that this morning. You might not even look like that, but that's the truth. So you just have to get to know who you are. And I'm writing a new article for our subscription that goes across Canada. And the Bible says when you became born again, you became a new person. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says you became a new creation or a new creature. In fact, you're so new that God has to reintroduce yourself to yourself. You got to get to know who you actually really are in Christ. Like you're the righteousness of Christ in Christ Jesus. A lot of people don't feel like they're righteous, but you are. You're righteous right now. You're not going to be any more righteous. Understand this, that we don't become righteous on our own, that we receive Jesus' righteousness. So there's all kinds of things. So the scripture tells us who we are in Christ. So the Bible has to reintroduce you to yourself because you're so new. So that's being baptized into the body of Christ. Spiritual, you know, spiritually God puts you into his body as a spiritual believer. Now the second baptism we need to be familiar with is being baptized in water, which we're going to do today, right after the service. I'm going to go down to here. We're going to take this, you know, some of you, I don't know what they're going to tell you to do, but I'm going to invite you. They can do what they want to do. Since I'm the head of the chief here. So you can just go down. I'm going to get out here and go right down here in front of, there's a baptism right behind this wall down there. So you can go out you can go all around if you want to, but if you do it in sync, we can all make it out there and don't waste any time and nobody has to drive off, right? So everybody's ready to go. So we're going to go downstairs on I'll leave here. Of course, this is going to be edited for television, okay? So we're going to walk out here and go to my right. I'm going right downstairs, and there's a baptism tank there. We're supposed to have it up here, but since it's nice, we'll have it outside. So what's that?
He forgot to call me.
Okay, he forgot to call you? Well, you can still go and run home and get your stuff. You want to get baptized?
Yeah.
Oh, you can go just like that. Praise God. Okay, we'll give you a shirt to wear. And we're going to do another one in August, I think, a couple of weeks. So we will let you know, and we'll edit this as well. Okay, we'll go out down here, and we're going to baptize right away, so you can watch. It's going to be very quick, and supernatural things are going to happen. Okay, power of God. Amen. So water baptism, the second baptism we need to become familiar with is water baptism. This example, we see where Philip, the evangelist, baptized a eunuch who was seeking salvation, and later he gets baptized in water. Let's go to Acts chapter 8, verse 34 to 36, King James Version. And the eunuch answered Philip, and he said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of a other man? Then Philip opened his mouth, began at the same scripture, preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? The Bible says that even Jesus himself was baptized by his cousin John the Baptist, the prophet of God. Here we see here in the scripture of Matthew chapter 3, verse 13 to 17. Then cometh Jesus to Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of you. Then comest thou to me? Jesus answered and said to him, suffer it to be so for now, for thus it becometh to us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. Lo, the heavens were opened up unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, whom I well pleased. We see here the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit gave witness about the baptism. The voice came from heaven is the Father God, and Jesus was getting baptized, and the Holy Ghost coming as a dove. like a dove on him. And this is a very significant thing over here that happened. Jesus getting baptized, and we should follow Jesus, right? He's telling us to be baptized. And so Luke chapter 3, verse 21, King James says, "Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized," that's in baptized in water, "and praying, he began, the heaven was open." So, I've seen people, I've heard of people who were baptized in the water, and when they were baptized in water, were filled with the Spirit as well. And some of them also got healed at the same time. So, it's up to, the person's faith and what God wants to do in their lives. They open. And God opened up a new, a new door of realization. Some people just come out of the water speaking in other tongues. And some get healed coming out of the water, But this is so significant. This is not what we're talking about. We're going to show you something here different in a moment in terms of what we had when we were children. This is something different. This is Bible. We're following what the Bible says. If we want what the Bible says, then we got to follow what the Scriptures are talking about. Follow the truth. Acts 10:47 says, "To further establish here water baptism," we see in Acts 10:47, "after Peter preached to Jesus, the Holy Ghost said, Can any man forbid water that they should be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" In other words, here we see people were baptized in the Holy Ghost, just like Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, they were baptized with the Spirit. Then they got water baptized. You could have either way, the Scripture shows us, you can be baptized in water and you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit almost the same time, right after. Or some people get, they get baptized in the Holy Ghost first and then they get baptized in water. So, it doesn't really matter. What's important that you get baptized in water, which we'll show you what the significance of that is in a few seconds here. So, let's go to the third one and emphasize that a little bit. The third baptism we should all consider is the importance of baptism in the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist said about what he said about Jesus. What do you do for us believers after salvation? He said this, that he'll fill you with his Spirit. I mean, technically, we're all filled with the Spirit. When you receive Jesus, you have the Holy Ghost in you. But there's something extra that happens after that, if you want it, if you're willing to receive the gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Like, no one's going to force you. You have to want this because this gives you extra power. This gives you the power to live the way Jesus wants you to live. You need all the power you can get. How many of you can use a little extra power? Amen? Some of you need it, I can tell. So we need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Okay, so you know what I'm thinking? I'm sitting there this morning, and my flesh started to react on me because it was getting a little bit too long. the music is gone, which is good. I enjoy the music, but sometimes it can be longer than other times. Your flesh doesn't like to stand up and, worship God. Your flesh doesn't want to participate. We have to encourage people, please worship with us. And then my wife comes up here, then she has to talk about a number of things. And after that, we have to show a video, which was longer than the rest of them. Then Pastor Dave's supposed to come up here, just share scripture, thank people, and take an offering. Not teach a four-point sermon. Okay? Which I enjoy. I enjoy Pastor Dave's. I enjoy it. He's very comical. I mean, I can enjoy listening to him all day. And so he goes on, and then they come up and thank the Academy of Faith City Church for doing all the videos. And then they give me half an hour. So you better hurry up. Okay? I'm looking around and seeing people just phasing out, just phasing out. I realize it's sometimes you have to fight your flesh to stay up, right? But if you're watching a movie, you'd be going. You know, watching a hockey game or a baseball game, whatever it is. But and I realize it's a hard thing to stay up in church. I know it. So fight it for an extra couple more minutes. It's not very long. So I got on here, what, quarter after, I think. So we're just about half an hour. We're going to get there. Okay, so I promise you, we won't stick around here very long. So let me just say, I'm just noticing some things, so praise God. I love you all. I know you love me too, but sometimes our flesh acts up, right? So you have to slap it around a little bit and say, listen, flesh. You know, Ernie, come on now. Praise God. Okay. So here's what John the Baptist said. This is John the Baptist. This is Jesus' cousin. I have a cousin here named Ed. He's not here this morning. I don't see where he is unless he's sleeping in the back somewhere. But anyway, him and I are like Jesus. I'm Jesus. He's John. So let me think about that somewhere. If you see Ed, tell him, hi, John, next time. That's his name. His mom should have called him John. And my name is Jose. Okay, so anyway, Matthew 3 and 13. He said, I indeed baptize you with water. Okay, John. Unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. I mean, some of you need a little bit of fire. You know, needs to get on fire. So he baptized you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So that's what happens sometimes, you know. I know when I got, you know, I was already what I considered being baptized before I ever got born again. I got born again. You might have a question, why do I have to get water baptized again? Well, I'm going to answer that question for you so you can understand. He said, I'm not worthy to bear, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So Jesus baptizes you with the Holy Ghost. The head of the church, Jesus, he said, I'm gonna baptize you with the Holy Ghost. I'm gonna fill you. You'll be so immersed with the Holy Spirit. He's not gonna be on you, but he's gonna be in you. And when you get baptized with the Holy Spirit, there's no guessing, oh, did I get baptized in the Holy Ghost? No, when you get baptized in the Holy Ghost and the fire of God's on you, you know. You don't have to say, did I get baptized in the Holy Ghost, Mr. King? We said, well, you sure look like it. You were rolling around over there. Well, you don't have to roll. My wife's like, you know, she got baptized in the Holy Ghost. You know, she acts proper even under the Holy Ghost. So me, I'm like, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Just like Pastor Dave, you know. But everybody's different. You don't have to have the same thing. But you, when you're filled, you know. How many people you know, right? So Mark also reiterated this fact in Mark chapter 1, verse 8. He said, I indeed baptize you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. What in the world is he talking about? He's talking about two baptisms here, water and the Spirit. So Luke also gives this account of his gospel in Luke chapter 3, verse 16. King James says, John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So that these guys here, writing their gospel, they didn't collaborate and said, you write this, I write that. No, they were. It's amazing how these guys wrote these gospels. There was no collaboration. If you studied the Bible, you understand this. So in summary, the Holy Ghost baptizes you into the universal body of Christ at salvation. And then secondly, man baptizes you in water after salvation for you to identify with Christ. And Jesus baptizes you with the Holy Spirit for you to serve him with power. That's the three baptisms that you need to be familiar with. I mean, I grew up in church all my life. There's never a time in my life where I never thought about church. I went to church since I was a kid. I went to church every Sunday. Without my parents. When my parents didn't go, I was in church. My parents didn't take me to church one day. Never took me to church one day. I went on my own. Because, sometimes Ed would come knock on my door. My cousin Ed, John, He said, let's go to church. He said, okay, I'm ready. All I do is jump out of bed and then swish my hair that way, and I went with him. That's why I went to church. Some of you look like you did the same thing this morning. Okay, so, you have to understand these kind of things to appreciate. Acts chapter 1, verse 1-5 says this. We have seen the three gospel writers say that Jesus baptized you with the Holy Ghost. And in the book of Acts, Jesus himself urges us to be baptized in the Holy Ghost to this very day, right now. Verse 2 of Acts 1. Until the day in which he was taken up, after that through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them for 40 days, speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, and commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, after ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water. Now he's saying what John is saying. But you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days say. So he's talking about the water baptism and the Holy Ghost baptism, two baptisms. I just want to make that distinction so you understand that there's more than one kind of baptism. Some people don't know, and you need to recognize again as a believer, this is something you'll never forget. You shouldn't forget about this. Maybe sometimes you run low on the Spirit. You need a new experience. It's not just one experience you have in this kind of thing. You need to have another one. You need another encounter with Jesus so that, it's like putting gas in your car. You run out. It's like putting food in your system or water in your system. You run out. You know, a lot of things can go into your spirit, like a lot of junk, like hate and anger and resentment. And you get full of that. You need to get all that junk out and be filled with the Spirit and get happy again. Hallelujah. Amen? Jesus said in John 16, 15 and 16, he said unto them, go into all the world and argue with everybody about the gospel. No, he didn't say that. He didn't say convince them through science. He just said, go preach the gospel. Tell them that Jesus was sent. He's the Lord and Savior. Just tell them that. So, the gospel to every creature, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth shall be damned. You're baptized and you put into the kingdom. You're putting into the body of Christ, and you get saved. So backsliders, the people ask me this question: I've been away from Jesus for many, many years. I backslid and lived like the devil in this crowd. And should I get baptized? Why not? You can do your first works again. You can be baptized again. Is that a one-shot deal? Okay. So sometimes people need to be renewed in their teachings of what they learn. So in Revelation chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, the King James says to renew your commitment, they can do their first works again. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you because, Jesus is talking, because thou hast left thy first love. That's people who've been backslidden. They're cold. They don't care about church anymore. They don't care about reading. They don't read their Bible. They never read their Bible, some of them. Some of them never feed themselves. They never listen to a preacher or to minister to their spirit. They'll eat snacks, but they never snack on the gospel, so to speak. Never read a pamphlet, never read a portion of the scripture or Bible or anything like that. So they're completely away from the things of God. They have no desire for spiritual things. They don't pray, they don't praise, they don't fellowship with Christians because they're too boring. That's what I used to think, that all Christians are boring. They don't smoke, don't drink, don't run out of girls. So why should I hang around with those guys? I remember I went back home to my reserve. And a man asked me, approached me, he says, do you have a cigarette? I said, no, I'm sorry, I don't smoke. You don't smoke? I said, no, I don't smoke. I guess it's the first time he met a First Nations man on that reserve who didn't smoke. I don't know if that's true or not, but he asked me, you don't smoke? Yeah. He says, why are you living then? Then he asked me, do you have any matches or anything? I said, no, I don't carry matches. I don't smoke. Then he asked me, you ever fool around, run after girls? I said, no, I don't do that. He said, what? Why are you living? Well, to some people, that's what it is. That's life. Live with so many girls and whatever, do what you have to do there. But if you're doing this thing, you're probably not, you're boring to them. And when I got born again as a young man, 24 years old, out of a Baptist church. I came out of a Catholic church. I got thoroughly born again, just completely loving Jesus after hearing Billy Graham preach. I received Jesus Christ. Got born again. Just absolutely loved Jesus. So forgiven. All the depression that I had left me. All the hate and anger just left me. How many people know if you walk around angry, hurt and mad at the world, mad at the government, mad at your parents, and all of a sudden the love of Jesus comes in you and you know the difference. And I felt secure when I came to Jesus. And I knew that something happened to me. I began to cry and weep and just realize all the junk I had for all my life has completely disappeared. And that's what the world needs. The world needs Jesus. You know, when we say that, you know, it's not a cliche. It's really true. The love of Jesus comes in you and you start loving people. So the point was this about the boring Christians. I got born again at 24. I started going to church and there was no young people. There's no young crowds that I could be in touch with, but I was still smoking a little bit at that time. I had to get rid of that at some point. You don't become perfect overnight. So don't get on people if they get born again and they're still listening to some AC/DC a bit. They're not going to go to hell. God's going to work on them. And you weren't as perfect either when you got born again. If I look under your bed, I might find some things that you might not want me to see. Or on your Facebook, or on your phone. Okay, so anyway, I got born again, and so I went to Wednesday night church service, and I'd be going home with 70, 80-year-old people and having a great time with them. In the spirit, there's no age limit in the spirit. And so I'm having great fellowship with people who are not as, and they were not First Nations people. They were Swedish people that was just fellowshipping with just older people, and they're giving me milk and cookies and having a great time in Jesus. Now, how could you do that? How could you have a great time in Jesus with milk and cookies? Well, you can. Jesus said, I'll make all things new. Those cookies were like brand new. I've never ate those cookies before. It's just Holy Ghost cookies. And the milk was something else. Like, woo! My goodness, hallelujah. So, just a little story because it's a happy story because sometimes we have all this idea about, you know, we need to get excited about Jesus again, people. There's other people beside you that need to be saved. So you're saved, all right, but what about everybody else? They need to hear about Jesus. Okay, so backsliders, they can do Jesus said here in Revelation 2, 4 and 5. He said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I'll remove thy candlestick out of thy place, except thou repent. So there's some repenting going on that needs to be repenting of, if you have to. Who should be baptized? The question was. Should babies be baptized? I get calls all the time. I say, sorry, sir, we don't baptize babies. I'm going to show you why. If you give me a moment, I'm going to tell you why we don't baptize babies. I was what they call baptized as a baby. I was baptized as a baby. And they named me Roma. And so I hated that name all my life until I got born again. Recognized nobody else had it, so I liked it. Babies are dedicated unto the Lord. They're not baptized. They're dedicated to the Lord by their parents in a church service or a church gathering. And baby dedication is the parents' commitment to bring up the child to properly nurture them in the ways of the Lord. There is no biblical precedent in the Bible, old and new, as examples of children being baptized in Scripture. Babies cannot repent of their sins, nor do they have any sins to be mentioned. They are not cognizant of sin or sinning. It's after they are illuminated to see their need for salvation. And they haven't reached the age of what they call the age of accountability in Scripture. What Paul said, when this happens, one day we all reach that revelation and Jesus gives us a choice to make a decision to follow Him, to follow Him. Romans 7:9 says this, for I was alive without the law once. In other words, they don't know the difference about right and wrong. But when the law commandment came, sin revived and I died. They died spiritually. That's why Ephesians says, when you're dead in your sins, Jesus came and made you alive. That's why it says over here He says, sin revived and I died. He died spiritually. People without Jesus are dead spiritually. They are still spiritual, but they're dead spiritually unto the things of God. Jesus' parents brought Jesus to the temple to be dedicated to God. Baby dedications are committing of the parents the responsibility to serve God with their children. It says here, Luke chapter 21, 23, and when the 8 days were accompanied for the commencing of the child, his name was called Jesus, which is so named after the angel before he was conceived in the womb. When the days of purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him unto Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. This is what we do with babies. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that appeared open to the womb shall be called holy of the Lord. So we do this for all children. Jesus said in Mark chapter 10, verse 13 and 16, and they brought the young children to Jesus, or to him, that they should touch him. They wanted Jesus to bless the children. And the disciples rebuked that brought them. And when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. He said unto them, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say to you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. He took them up in his arms and put his hands upon them and blessed them. Now, something else, you know, I've heard about this earlier when I was a young people. They said, okay, you have to do it over again because you didn't get baptized right. So is there a formula to be baptized in Scripture? Well, that's a question people have. Seem like do babies get baptized? No, we said no, not in Scripture. There's no Scripture. There's no precedent for it. So we've seen here that there are three ways to be baptized that we should mention in the Scripture, but we're primarily focusing on water baptism. Is there really a proper way to be baptized? We'll see the need to follow the Word of God in all points if we are truly to love God and want to follow Him. Why wouldn't you want to thoroughly follow Jesus in every way? In some church establishments, they sprinkle water on the baby's forehead to pour water on the head. Or in some instances, the minister takes his finger, dips it in water, and says to you, as he puts his finger on your forehead, I baptize you. And they call this baptism. Well, that's not baptism in Scripture. We have seen in the Scripture to be baptized means to be fully immersed. That's what the word means, in water. To be put fully under the water for a significant purpose, and that is to identify with Jesus, his death, burial, and resurrection, and also to follow his command, as Jesus said. There's always a right way and a wrong way to do anything. We might do it right, we might do it wrong, but there's the right way. There's no use in being casual or improper about such important subjects, so the proper way is to be fully immersed in water, just as Jesus said. We should be baptized in the water. So the main reason for baptism, for water baptism, Mark 16, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. We don't like to talk about the damned, because that's improper. It's not politically correct. It's to talk about the hell and the devil and hell. Because you scare people. I heard one lady told me one time, I took my kids to the Catholic Church one time, the priest talked about hell, and they got terrified, and I'm never sending them back there again. Well, maybe you should have taught your kids. That's our business, to teach our children. Some people don't have no knowledge of comforting their kids when it comes to those kinds of things. One time, my brother went to a camp meeting, and he come back. He was all mixed up because he went in the camp meeting, and he was upset because he didn't have any foundation. We need foundation, folks. You'll never be thrown off the way if you have strong foundation. Everybody knows that. Joe builds houses. Joe, you need a strong foundation, right, to build a house. You can't just build it on some wet mud somewhere. It's going to go down. So you need a strong foundation for your faith. So in Romans 6, verse 3 to 6, here said, know ye not, as so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into his death, like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. Even so, we also who walk in newness of life, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Know this, that the old man is crucified with him. Your old man, that's your old spirit that's unregenerated, He was crucified with Jesus on the cross. That's not, you know, somebody talking about this joke way, way back, this old man said, you know what? One of those old people, one of those men on Jesus, you know, on Calvary, one of them was Paul's dad. You know, he said, why he said it? He said, because he said in the scripture, he says, my old man died with him. Come on, guys, this is a little bit of funny. At least it's going to take you for another 2 minutes. That the old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So when a person dies and he's buried, you know, the Bible says there is a resurrection. Spiritually speaking, when you come out of the water, we'll no longer walk in the same way we did before when we walked before we were baptized, you know, and saved. We won't be telling lies anymore, doing all those things. So when you get born again, God sees you in Christ. That's another story we're going to talk about another time. But we should follow Christian baptism, biblical baptism. Number one, why? To follow Jesus' example, to fulfill righteousness, Matthew 3:15 says. Jesus answered and said unto him, suffer not to be so for now, for thus become it to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered them. So Jesus said, we fulfill righteousness, fulfill all the right ways to do things. Number two, to obey Christ's command. Matthew 28:9 said, go into all the world and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So obey the command. Number three, believers must do the word of God to please God. Acts 8:37, Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So in conclusion, So in baptism, we identify with Jesus, his death, burial, and resurrection. So we're going to baptize people in a few minutes.